Thank you for joining Temple Baptist Church as Pastor Brady Martin teaches a new series called Church Matters, a study in the book of Acts.
We're going to briefly, in the next few minutes, look at Acts chapter 2, 42 through 47. And then we'll pick that up in 2 weeks, where we'll dive deeper into Acts chapter 2, 42 through 47. Public service announcement. Some of y'all think I don't have a watch with my sermons, but I do, I promise you. But I have not said it since last year when we sprung forward last year, and so I'm still an hour ahead, and I decided I was too late to ever switch it back. So public service announcement, next week, next Sunday, will be the spring forward time change. If you didn't know that, so that's next week. And next week, my watch will be on time, so. All right, so Acts chapter 2, I just want to read this text and make a few little comments about it, and then we'll come back and look at it in more detail in a couple of weeks. Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47. This passage has shaped the church in so many significant ways over the years. Acts chapter 2, 42 through 47, the word of God says, "And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship and the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number, day by day, those who were being saved." Yeah, maybe my prayer is, just maybe, that the Lord might write something like this about Temple in the years ahead. And so what I want to do is just basically talk about what this means real quickly, and then come back and next in 2 weeks, walk through these markers here that are clear here in Acts 2:42 through 47 about what biblical community looks like. Oh, you'll see things like they're devoted to the teaching. They gather together consistently. They eat together with God together. You'll see in the Lord others' needs. You'll see those things. Praising God together. You'll see, and the Lord is adding to their number. So we'll see some of those things in a few weeks, but tonight I want to back up just a little bit and talk about, just briefly, the importance of biblical community and the importance of biblical community. This is one of the things that we often talk about but don't define. When we talk about biblical community, what we're talking about is the fellowship of the saints. And when we meet, but the problem is when we use fellowship in our minds, we go to a big meal with 100 people. You know, we think about a big meal with 100 people in fellowship, but that's not what's really being talked about here. What we're talking about is people gathering in smaller ways to be able to have biblical community. And what biblical community means is you gather with people on a regular basis who are believers in Christ for the purpose of growing together in the Lord. That's what biblical community is. It's doing life together in everyday situations with biblical friendships and with people who are committed to tell you when you've stepped out of line with the faith, they are close enough to you to be able to come tell you, hey, what's going on here? You have people who are connected in biblical community. You have people who are able to encourage you and spur you on. Because I want you to know 4 things quickly about biblical community. First, is that you were made for community. Did you know that you were actually created for community? In Genesis 2, we find Adam, and it says, God says, it's not good for man to be alone, and so he created woman for community and relationship. But the reason we were created for community is we were created in the image of God. Do you see, actually, in the Old Testament, when we see, when God says, let us make man in our image, one of the things we learn from the opening pages of the Bible that God has always existed as a triune God. When we say triune God, that sounds very official and doctrinal and all of those things. But what we mean by it is God has existed as the Trinity forever. as Father, Son, and Spirit. He existed eternally as three persons and one God. Now, I can't explain to you exactly how all of that works, but I can tell you that is how God has existed. And I can tell you that Christianity is actually the only religion, if in all the major world religions, Christianity is the only thing there that actually says that relationship is at the heart of God. Everything else does not, but relationship is at the very heart of who God is, Father, Son, and Spirit. God has never existed except in relationship. He made in his image, we were created by him. Where Jesus, as he's praying the high priestly prayer, he's praying for the unity of the church. He says, Father, I pray that they will be one as we are one. He's praying for the unity of the Godhead to be the unity of the saints, the relationship that is there to be that of the church. So you were created for community. We see that here in Acts chapter 2. We see that these people were living as new creations in community. See, community is not some peripheral Christian teaching. It's not just some add-on that says, you know what, if you want to be a really good Christian, you'll get together with some other Christians and you'll maybe do a small group study or you'll be a part of a Sunday school class. No, no, being a part of a relationship with people in biblical community is what it means to be a Christian, right? It means to walk with other people. We do not walk alone. We do not walk alone. So it's important to understand we were made in the image of God and we were made for community. You see, also God is most reflected and glorified in the church when we reflect him. And since he is in his essence is relationship, when we have healthy relationships and are unified as a church, we are actually reflecting God to our community. The unity of our church is essential and important, not merely to make our organization run smoothly, but because we're actually putting the gospel on display to our world. So I encourage us to think through the fact that we were made for community. Second, you need community to grow. You need community to grow. Colossians 3:16 tells us, have you ever noticed, as I thought about this morning, passing thought, I read 1 Corinthians 3:16, how all the good verses are 3:16, 2 Timothy 3:16, John 3:16. I'm thinking, if you don't know, the numbers weren't inspired. They were added later on there, the chapter divisions and the verse numbers. But my goodness, 3:16 almost hits it every time. So Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. What a beautiful phrase. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. This doesn't just mean the gathering on Sunday mornings. This is talking about when we gather together in our homes and when we get together with Christian friends and with our families, we are to let the word of Christ dwell in us richly. And this doesn't just say have the pastor teach you and admonish you. Singing psalms and hymns and spirit to come and to teach and admonish one another in all wisdom. Singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs together. I think about the night we went caroling over here my group couldn't sing very well. I brought the bar down. But we had so much fun singing together these Christmas songs. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Let earth receive her king. As we, as seven or eight of us, walked around nursing home singing, it even brought us closer together. Oh, I didn't even know some of the people before that night. Oh, but once we sang together, oh yeah, we had that mutual experience. We were bonded together as we sang together. And that's what it's saying. We need community to grow. You need your Sunday school class. You need your women's Bible study. You need to be connected to other Christians other than just a large group setting. We need to be connected in smaller groups, whether that's Sunday school, or in your home, or wherever. I don't care the location. The important part is that we're connected with other believers in a way we can build each other up, encourage one another to grow in the gospel. If you don't have people like that, please join one of our Sunday school classes. I would love to get you connected. And also Sunday school classes, I want to just tell you this. Make sure that your class is open to outsiders. Make sure that you see your Sunday school class as a missions organization. We have a lot of missions agencies in our church. We have the Hendry class mission organization. We have the Joy class mission organization. There's even one called Team Jesus. I don't know how I feel like left out that I didn't get invited to be on Team Jesus. Right? So, but we have all of these groups and they're there, but they're not there just to be inward focused. They're to be people holding, it's like you think of a group holding hands in a circle and they're focused inwardly, caring for one another, loving one another. That's great. But what those groups have to do is they have to keep holding hands and start looking at the world and focus outwardly. So I'm gonna encourage you, see your Sunday school class as a missions organization. Maybe you pray about your Sunday school class splitting. Not because they're mad at each other, because they can multiply. So I encourage you to think through that. You need community to grow. I want to tell you one of my favorite shows as a kid, Lone Ranger. Anybody like Lone Ranger in here? Yeah, some of y'all admit it. Yeah, there we go. I'm not talking about the new one with Johnny Depp, but the old Lone Ranger. I liked it a lot. We do this thing together. I went around to these churches preaching, and I felt like a Lone Ranger. And my youth pastor said, Brady, you're not a Lone Ranger. You need these other people around you. And boy, did I ever. Because there was a lot of flaws in me. Still are. But I needed other people in my life to encourage me, pray for me, and spur me on in the faith. We need it too. And I don't know who it is that right now needs you. There's someone in your Sunday school class right now who needs you to show up, to love them, to care for them, admonish them. They need you. You need community to grow, but others need you to grow in their own faith. Third point, the church is the gospel community gathered and scattered. Think about it this way. The church is those who gather, right? That's the word, is the gathering. The church is those who gather together. And so the church is those who gather large, gather big, and they also scatter. We gather and we scatter. And so one of the things that's important about this that we have to remember is that we gather together in large groups, but we scatter into our communities. But as we scatter into our communities, we do not lose our identity as brothers and sisters. We don't just come together and worship on Sunday mornings or Sunday night or Wednesday night, but we are brothers and sisters every day of the week committed to one another. So our Sunday school classes aren't just things that meet once a week. And I'm not saying you have to meet all the time. I'm saying, but you care for one another throughout the week. You call one another. You text one another. You check on one another and you make sure everyone's doing okay, that you're able to care for them and love them. But you're not just caring for their physical needs, but you're caring for their spiritual needs. You are committed to pray for their lost son. You are committed to pray for their mom or dad who is estranged from the faith, and you're loving them and caring for them every day of the week. So the church is gospel community gathered, but the church is also the gospel community as it scatters. Point number four, our last point tonight. If we want to reach Gainesville and Cook County, we have to invite others to be a part of our communities. If we really want to reach our community, one of the things that all the statistics will tell us was if you get someone, here's one of the interesting statistics, by the way. When someone visits a church, statistics tell us that they choose whether they're going, they decide whether they're going to come back or not in 7 minutes. 7 minutes. I don't even get a shot. Right? Like 7 minutes, typically, people decide based on their experience whether they're coming back. Tells us a lot about how friendly we are at the doors. How great it is, how easy it is for them to be, how we make sure our property looks great, and how great it is, how easy it is for them to be able to take their kids and do all of those things. 7 minutes. I'm thinking, my goodness, that's hard. And so it's a reality that we face. But the other thing is this, if you have people who just attend church, the rate of them coming back is really low until they get connected in a smaller group setting. They get connected to a Sunday school class. with real people that they know and that love them and they are loved by them, what we see happening there is they get connected, they are loved, and they start coming back. That's interesting, right? And so I want to encourage us to make sure our smaller group communities are seen as missional enterprises to reach our community. But let me say this. I know it's easy to like our Sunday school classes at times the way they are. We're pretty happy with them. But at some point, we have to think, this Sunday school class is for the mission of God, not my own self. And so I want to encourage you, begin praying that your Sunday school class grows so big that it has to multiply. Begin praying that. So fourthly, if we want to reach our community, we have to invite people into our communities. And we have to make sure a biblical community is one that is very open and ready to receive people. I want to tell you, there is nothing worse than visiting a church and it feel like you don't fit in. It stinks. I'm telling y'all. You go in and nobody talks to you. You go to a Sunday school class and you feel like an outsider the whole time. I'm going to tell you, that's hard. But when you walk into a church and they say, hey, welcome. We're so glad you're here. We want you to be part of our family. Oh, not the stepchild who just comes around every once in a while. We want you to be a brother and sister in our family here at Temple. That makes a huge difference. So I just encourage y'all, keep that in your mind. As we practice biblical community, let's remember what the New Testament says. That we're to love one another. We're to outdo one another in showing honor. We live in harmony with one another. We comfort and agree with one another, serve one another. We bear one another's burdens. We forgive one another. We submit to one another. We're honest with one another. We encourage one another. We confess to one another. And we pray for one another. Christianity is all about one another. Because we are made in the image of God. Because we are made in the image of God, we were made for community. We were made for relationship. Don't try to do Christianity on your own. To help you become more like Jesus. But small group leaders and all those who attend faithfully, keep doing such a good job. Keep at it. And let's watch God do great things in our community here at Temple to reach our community of Gainesville, Cook County, and to all of these places we just saw up here on stage. I'm thankful God's at work. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for the opportunity to get together tonight and to hear these testimonies and briefly talk about biblical community. Father, I pray as we, in the days ahead, we will think through those things, that we will think through what it means to be a community focused upon Christ, and that we were made in the image of God, that we were made for relationships and for community. Let our Sunday school classes be seen not as things just for me, but that they're seen as missional enterprises to reach our community. So when we gather, when we gather big, we focus on the gospel. When we gather small, we focus on the gospel. When we gather together, we sing. When we gather small, we sing. Our homes, may they be filled with the songs of Christ. May those truths that we have sung tonight just go deeper and deeper into the hearts of our children and grandchildren. Father, and for those who right now, as I've preached this, they think, you know, I love to be part of the biblical community, but I'm not sure where I fit in. I don't have a group like that. I don't have people surrounding me who love me and care for me and want to eat with me and spend time with me, and they just don't have good gospel friendships. Father, I pray that you will help them get connected, that you will bring people into their lives who will help them be connected in biblical community. Father, if anyone needs help in that area, we would love to try to help and connect them with a Sunday school class, small group, or someone who might be able to help. Father, I just pray that tonight we will give you all the glory because we have been called in such a beautiful community, such as Temple. Thank you so much for allowing me to serve such a great church and for us to be a part of it. It's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.
This concludes a message from Temple Baptist Church. For more information, visit our website at tbcgainesville.org or find us on Facebook. at facebook.com/TBC Gainesville.